Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Listen, man, the Constitution of the Church. Of course, we don't call it the Constitution of the Church, but if you understand the word Constitution, it means what you're made up of. And so we are made up of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. The very first thing that he spoke as he began his ministry is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically he just stopped on a mountain and just began to teach. And he began to say what God wanted communicated to us for years, because he said nothing unless he heard the Father say it. And so this is the creator of the universe communicating to us through his Son. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And he's talking to us, and we're, you know, all the things we've been talking about and others have been talking about as Christians about leaving the Constitution of America. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, let's just put that on the back burner for a moment. We left the Constitution of the Church. Mm. And it is an amazing, just the revelation and the almost like a covering's being lifted off of the Constitution of the Church, the words of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
And some people are like, I don't want to hear about that. That's Jesus, dude. you want to hear about what? And somebody says, well, you just need to preach in the Gospels. And it's like, if we preach in the Gospels, you'd be really surprised. I mean, he says stuff like, I don't know, gouge your eye out if it offends you. Right?
That's right. That's what he said.
And, but, I mean, he's talking right here about how he sees, how God sees hatred. And that he's the opposite of hatred. He's love. God is love. Mm-hmm. And he loves us so much that he gave his Son, Jesus, to pay the price for us so that we can deal with sin, including hatred, at the cross, and ask God to forgive us and begin to allow love himself to come into our hearts and begin to love people. He empowers us to love others. And he remedies the sin situation at the cross if we go there. And he starts talking about it in Matthew chapter 5. He starts talking about how he just starts talking about murder. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is this going? You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 26, you know, Jesus clearly says, anyone who is angry with his brother is subject of judgment. But right prior to that, he's talking about murders. You know, a murderer. I'm like, why would you even talk about murder? I mean, think about God. Mm-hmm. Of all the things he could talk about, the first things he talked about was murder. And I'm talking, listen, first of all, I'm talking about your soul, right?
Yeah.
We want you to know Jesus. We want you not to be in relationship with religion, but be in relationship with love, which is Jesus. And secondly, if you really want a third grade awakening, if you really want to see a powerful move of God, not just somebody working their gift that may end up on the last day saying many people will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? And he'll say, I never knew you. See, if you don't move in love, you don't move in God. You may have your gift, but it doesn't mean anything. People can get saved by it, you using your gift. You can preach a Jesus you don't even know, and they can believe what you don't believe, and they can be saved because there's power in the name of Jesus, and gifts are without repentance. But he says in 21, he says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject of judgment. It's like, wow. I mean, we went straight from, you know, our righteousness has to be greater than that of the Pharisees, which you just talked about, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, and now he's talking about murder.
Mm-hmm. Pretty serious.
I mean, you picture the courtroom scene with that, where, you know, he's saying, you know, you're on trial for murder. And of course, the judge is God. And if you don't understand it, you won't have the advocate, which is Jesus. And if we didn't forgive, then we didn't exercise our right to this advocate, this attorney, if you would, or this advocate before God, which God established, which is Jesus. I don't need an attorney. I'm going to defend myself. They say a person who defends himself has a fool for a client. And you can't defend yourself because we've all fallen. Mm-hmm. And so... So understand that that's the scene that he's painting before he begins to talk about hatred and anger. And then he goes on to say, he says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Okay, he first painted the picture of the sin of murder and the crime of murder and judgment for murder. And then he says, but I tell you, and he starts raising the consequences for some what many probably thought and still think is not that serious of a charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he compares anger with murder. And he's saying, listen, not only basically will murder be judged, but anger will be judged on the level of murder.
Yeah.
Does that make you angry? That's why the enemy tries so hard to offend you. But if you choose to love instead of be angry and hate, then you are truly a son of God. You're walking out what Jesus walked out. You know, I'm personally not asking for any more. And you don't really want to ask for any more. But there's a lot of things that come our way that give us a plenty of opportunity to go, well, that would, if I needed somebody to hate, that would be definitely somebody would fit the bill. But I'm going to choose to love that person instead.
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus set the example for us. He set the example by telling us, showing us, you know, WWJD, people wearing those armbands, right? WWJD. Well, I'll tell you what WWJD means. For people up north, that's WWJD. And which means, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, this is what he did. He didn't defend himself. I mean, how many times do we fall prey to wanting to defend ourselves? Pat, do you need to talk about anything? Okay, you're getting defensive. Right. No, I'm fine.
I'm good.
his head's kind of jerking to the right now.
A little bit.
And but Jesus is perfect now. He's the Son of God. He did nothing wrong. He had no sin in him at all. But yet they called him Satan. They accused him of everything. They beat him, blindfolded him, pressed a thorn of crowns on his head, and crucified him. And he said this. He said, hold not this sin against them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he was giving them the breath to breathe, as they were shouting these curses out, and the strength to be able to hold the hammer that drove the nail that he held the carbon bond to the nail to hold it together so it could go through his hand, which he was holding together, because he just trusted himself to him who judges justly. He was loving God. Mm-hmm. He was loving God. And we say, how do we love God? Greater love hath no man than he lay down his own desires, his own life. He's willing to go second. Are you willing to be second? You're willing to take less. You're willing to see someone else get the raise in the office.
All right.
You're willing to say, well, you know, marriage is not for me. I'm going to be single. I'm not going to envy those that are married. I'm going to be like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 7. It's better not to be. And if I was anyway, I had to live like I'm not. I'm just going to. I'm just going to love God and I'm going to love others. And then he tells us very specifically, and we're going to make this available to you on VFN TV in its entirety. It's called Murderer. Love is not an option. You can see that on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. In the menu in the top, you'll see VFN TV, and you can watch it there. It should be made available soon. And they have a couple things to do to it beforehand. And the context of that is understanding that Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Not hate. Love. People say, people take the word hate because it's not politically correct and we push it aside. Although a lot of people are exercising it today more than I've actually seen in my lifetime. You know, I have seen historically where people, you can watch footage of people in America hating. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, dang, that was like, are you serious? You're hating your brother like that? I mean, it was amazing that it's just the devil.
Yeah.
Got a hold of people. And But there are haters. There's plenty of haters. And so with that, he says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. By this, all people will know you're my disciple, which means this. He says, and then he says, you must love one another. That's just not a good idea. That's a God expectation of us. It's love. The love that he's talking about here is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that we're a believer. Oh, I guess I got to love. No, this is what I mean. This is what I'm saying, is that if love himself dwells inside of you, then love comes out of you.
Right.
Which means God's in you. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? So you can think you know Jesus and be hateful and say, you don't know him.
Right.
Because if you knew him and he knew you, then he would dwell, he'd be dwelling in you, and he would just come out of you. Not that you're gonna be perfect or anything, but hey, you're gonna love. If you do wrong, you're gonna be convicted because the Holy Spirit's inside of you going, that ain't right, go make it right. And he said, this is the greatest witness. This lets people know that you're mine. Why? What? When we act like him. When we act like Jesus. I remember somebody once said, what?
It's prophetic.
Act like it.
Act like it. That could be self-applicable, couldn't it?
Yeah,
definitely.
I love Jesus. Act like it. And the thing about it, you can't. This is not about works. Now, if you're listening, if you go watch, Murderer, Love's Not an Option on VFN TV, this has nothing to do with works. It has to do with inviting love into your heart, inviting God into your heart through his son, Jesus Christ. And then love dwells inside of you, and he will empower you. This love of God will empower you to show forth who he is. The more you surrender of yourself over to love, the more love you're going to. Love is patient. It endures hardship, delays, and all that without complaining. Mm-hmm. Love is kind. Excuse me, can I get that for you? Would you like some water? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle.
Not rude.
Let's hang on gentle for a moment. Love is... Man, that was very ungentle, wasn't it? No. Love is gentle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
What I hear.
Well, I mean, love is not a wishy-washy, Jesus was and is love, and he was no pushover. I like what Peter Wagner's talking about. He says, what happened to the worship that used to be, aggressive? and there is times for places for all forms of worship, but if all we sing is lovey dovey, ooey gooey, ooshy gooshy, it's like, first of all, we're feminizing the masculinity in the body of Christ. Secondly, who's going to do the work?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to do work, And, but in the context of that, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, love is patient. Love is kind. Can I get that for you? Can I do something for you? I mean, think about it. If you want to love today, it's not that complicated. Don't go give somebody a hug. Just be kind to them.
Put yourself out.
Yeah, put yourself out. I guess that's an ungentle way to put it. That was impatient, wasn't it? You're putting myself out of my schedule. No, I'm just playing. I'm playing around. I'm playing around.
Check
love
the forehead.
Love, yeah, I know. You're right. Oh, I see. Whoa. Denver. No, that would be Jersey. Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Okay, moving on.
Love.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't envy. And so think about it. What is envy? Envy is wanting what someone else has. I want that thing. I should have had that raise. I should have had that car. It's like, do you really spend all your time in your day just looking and envying what other people have? All the stuff that you have. If you live in America, which is only, it's less than 5% of the world's population now. All Americans stacked up, packed up, put together in a package, and we're less than 5%.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had a, I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face, you're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God, but he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where
and pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But...
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. The poorest person in America is more blessed, is richer than 80% of the population of the world. And you're envying somebody else's stuff?
Yeah. Amazing.
You got to know Jesus. You need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, the love of your life. But love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. If I hear one more thing about you, did I ever tell you about my life? Yeah, you did. Remember 7 times ago? It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not proud, right? And pride is, and we're going to hear an interview in a moment from Dr. Ben Carson. He's talking about, he thought he had rights before he was saved, and he was always angry and in a fight. And the reason why, if you're always angry and in a fight and got hatred in your heart, is because you're proud. You got pride in your life. And you need to repent. You need to make Jesus Christ the love, the Lord of your life. You need to return to the first love if you left him. You need to turn back to him. It's not rude. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. I mean, that's a huge thing, being self-seeking. You just lay down your life. It doesn't make any sense to the majority. Obviously, all the world doesn't make sense. And a lot of the folks that call themselves believers, it don't make sense. They're like, I got to get mine. We just want to get what? You're in a room full of believers. Just settle down and blend in.
All right.
You know? What about mine? Oh, my goodness. It's not easily angered. It's not easily angered. And that's important, isn't it?
Very yeah. Important. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say it's not anger, but it's just not easily angered. It keeps, and if we do get angry, the sun doesn't go down on our anger because the devil will get a foothold. And next thing you know, we'll have hatred in our heart. Mm-hmm. It keeps no records of wrongs, no databases of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. So it's not like, hey, that's great. That's wonderful that bad things happen to someone. No, we don't do that. You don't. That's not what you do. Who are we to do that? But it rejoices with the truth. If I hear you preach one more time, if you bring the word up one more time, Jesus, 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 Jesus in the morning, Jesus at lunchtime, Jesus at supper time. Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Is there any, he's the love of my life. Yeah. It always protects. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. Jesus tells us right here very specifically, and you can find out more about it, that love is not an option. It is not a fruit of the Spirit he's talking about here. It's evidence that you actually have the Spirit of love inside of you. And he tells us, if you say that you love God but hate your brother, he says the whole religious experience you're talking about, even if you have the gifts he talks about in Matthew chapter 7, it's all a lie and he doesn't know you. Listen, he says, put your gift at the altar. If you remember that you've sinned against someone, you've done evil towards someone, you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you did them wrong, put your gift down. Don't prophesy one more time. Don't talk about what you're given one more time. Don't sing one more song. Just go make things right and then come back and sing, then come back and prophesy, then come back and function. Of all the things he's talking about murder. He compares hatred with murder. He puts it on the same level of judgment. Of course, God will forgive murder. But if you don't repent of murder, of the sin, you won't confess that I have murdered. God, forgive me. I've committed the sin of murder. I've killed someone, murdered someone. And he'll forgive you. But he puts on the same level ground as murder, anger and hatred towards your brother. Right?
Oh, yeah, he does.
It's like, I'm so glad that we have more life than sin, because now, you know, we can say, hey, the Pharisees didn't mention this.
Right.
And now the teachers of the law, you're starting to hear, hey, this is important. And so just like he'll forgive us of all sin that we deal with and confess, he'll forgive us of the sin of hatred. But what he openly says here in the Sermon on the Mount, which is what the creator of the universe is telling us through his son, and you've seen the son, you've seen the father, is lightness, the light of the gospel, is not in you if you hate. Listen, let me tell you something. I got good news for you. You've been rocking around all ticked off and angry at everybody, and you've been trying to do this religious thing, and you can't figure it out, and you're getting angrier and angrier and more hateful and more hateful. And you're thinking, how is it working for everybody else? Everybody else, like, see, what they did was they made Jesus the Lord of their life. They laid down their whole life at the cross of Christ and just said, God, here I am. I'm yours. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I have sinned. I have fallen short. Your way is right. Let every man be a liar and you be the truth, God. I'm gonna become your disciple, Jesus. You're right. I'm just going to follow your way. And then what happens when we make Jesus the Lord of our life, he comes and dwells in our hearts. And he is love, so love dwells inside of that man or woman. And so what you were seeing when you began to envy that person who was walking in love, that wasn't their love. That was God in them coming out of them. They were leaking God. They were leaking God. God was just permeating their life and progressively walking them on a journey that made his love more and more prominent in their life. And you looked at that and you said, you know, I want that. And the thing about it is, I think about Simon said that. And Simon saw what was going on in Paul's life. When you read about it in the book of Acts, he saw what was going on. And he was this town magical dude, you know, a soothsayer. And he was moving all these spiritual type things. And he thought, well, that's a good bag of tricks. I want that. That looks good. That looks good. And so he turns to Paul. And he says, how much, if I give you an offering, right, will you give that to me? Will you lay hands on me? You know, can I? He's like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And Paul's like, what have you done? You think you can buy this? What did he do to him? We're talking about Eli. We're talking about Eli here. We're talking about Eli too.
Right.
But with Eli doing that as well, Eli went blind. But Simon, he's like, you know, please get this thing off of me. I'm sorry. You know, as he began to just deal with him and rebuke him, you know, even to the point he's like, put him in a whole nother category of going like, I don't even know if God should ever forgive you for what you just did. Mm-hmm. And think about what's going on today. It's just like, this is not good. You don't approach God that way. You approach God like the man that Jesus described that got on his knees and beat his chest and said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, like Isaiah. I've sinned, I've fallen short. Listen, God already knows this. Mm-hmm. He's wanting to know if you know this. And then you make Jesus the Lord of your life, which means he's the ruler of your life. You just want to know everything about him because you love him and you're thankful for him forgiving you and bringing you into the family of God, where you're able to approach God with boldness because of his finished work on the cross of Christ. And you're like, this is a relationship. And see, what you've been struggling with and your frustration is you haven't yet made Jesus the Lord of your life. You just like what you saw, but you tried to approach it the wrong way. Don't beat yourself up because that'd be the same mindset. Just humble yourself. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I just want to love you and receive your love. I want to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You see, it makes me think about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first two children born on earth from Adam and Eve. They were the sons of Adam and Eve who were in the garden prior to them, the fall of man, and then they were out of the garden. But they had two sons. One was named Cain and one was named Abel. Both of them put a sacrifice before the Lord. One of them did a blood sacrifice with an animal, and one of them did a grain sacrifice. And God accepted the blood sacrifice of Abel, but did not receive the sacrifice of Cain. Now, listen, neither one of these guys really knew what was going on. God was, you know, in the context of Jesus and the blood sacrifice. And so often people, you know, the enemy starts attacking people and say, well, God, you know, God must not have loved me. You know, I did all this kind of stuff. No, just we can learn from what's going on. So Cain became jealous of Abel. Cain was walking around all sad, all downcast. I mean, his face was so long he could eat oats from a tailpipe. You know what I'm saying? I'm assuming, but I have seen the Cain face before. Mm-hmm. Face of Cain, face of Cain, face of Cain. So he's walking around all depressed and stuff. He's pondering, says, oh, you know, Jim got that raise and I didn't. No, I'm sorry. No, we're talking about Cain and Abel, not you. And so he was just all depressed and stuff. And so, but he was depressed and sad and downcast because he was filled with hatred towards his brother and possibly even God. And he was hateful and angry and bitter and resentful. And so God shows up and he talks. I mean, think about it. God speaking to Cain. And he says, Cain, look at me. And so many people today see people all sad and downcast and, you know, having to do whatever they can do to just get through the depression. And the mindset is suddenly to start feeling sorry for someone. Like, oh, you're just sad. It's like sad. But if you ask them, like, yeah, I'm just sad. I'm filled with hate, bitterness, and resentment. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, just because somebody's downcast and depressed does not mean they're righteous. They could be suffering the consequences of having hatred in their heart towards their brother. So God doesn't go, hey, let's just lay you on the couch right here and let's discuss all everybody's fault. Why everybody's your fault. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So tell me, why was your great grandfather's like, what are you doing? Anyway, so I'm on therapy.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the daily VFN radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University.org. And explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religion's made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught. Right. And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
You know, John, I think back on, you know, when I was just going to tradition And I felt like I was just going through the motions. And I'd just go spend an hour and then just continue on in my day like I was continually doing. When I met the VFN family and God encountered me, I wanted to tell everybody. And it seemed that I really didn't know how to express it and make it understandable. And we have the Vine Seminar to be able to share with others what God is doing by being the church, just being healthy family centered around Jesus. You know, and if you're interested and you want to find out more, go to vineseminars.org and read about it. See what God is doing. And if this feels connected to you and you feel like there's something more and that you're searching for God, find out more at vineseminars.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. God says this to Cain. God said, sin is crouching at your door, and it's going to devour you, Cain. Why don't you just do what's right? And people try to spiritualize things like, just do what's right. You got to give up all those perceived, idolatrous, self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. And you've got to just give it to God. And he says, at that point, God was interceding between two brothers, between Cain and Abel. And Cain could have said, you're right, God. You created everything. You know, a couple hours ago, the earth I'm standing on, my mom and dad, you know, and they had us. We're like the first ones. I'm going to think about this. And then he could have just said, I'm sorry, Abel. I had hatred in my heart. This is wrong before God. You know, forgive me, God. And, but instead he chose to hate his brother, Abel. And he had him go out in the field. He met him out there and he killed him. He killed Abel. Killed him. And you think, how tragic is that? But remember, getting back to what I was saying in the beginning, Jesus' word on the Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the church, he said, if you do hate, it is in the same level of murder and you have to be dealt with like the same as murder, so it has to be confessed and dealt with. Why don't you just do what's right? He said this, he says, don't take the way of Cain. In the New Covenant, by the way, in the New Testament, he says, don't take the way of Cain. Listen, church, don't take the way of Cain. Don't take the way of Cain. Many things are going to happen. Many injustices are going to happen. But God has demonstrated to us through his son how we're to handle those injustices. Listen, we can entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. These are our opportunities. And we're not asking for more. But the ones that do come our way are father filtered. And we can trust God. I'm going to love you through this. And I'm going to love this person or this whole whatever through this whole situation. You may have to ask yourself continually, what meanest thou this? What's going on? And that's disassociate your heart from what's actually happened in the context. Don't let your heart become offended over the situation. Realize that what demonstrates that you are a son or a daughter of God is that God's inside of you, living inside of you, his spirit's inside of you, and that you love. You love your brother. You love your sister. It's our love for each other that will cause all men, he said, all men, think about it, everybody on the face of the earth, when they just see us love each other. That's why you got to be very, very careful. And well, I'm just going to go there real quick, like, because we've got our break and we're going to go on to Dr. Carson, is, listen, you call yourself an intercessor and you are praying against the body of Christ. You are calling down bad things on the body of Christ, on your brother or sister, by the way, whose father is God. You're actually thinking that God is going to accept that? Yeah, you're an intercessor, all right? You're an intercessor of the devil. That's what he says. He says, these guys are held captive by the evil one, the ones that hate. Oh, by the way, hate is a very it's not a politically correct word, so people don't necessarily use that word. They just use the definition of the word is extremely aversion, have extreme aversion to.
I dislike intently.
To dislike intently. Here's the definition of hate, and we'll move on. And you can see this whole teaching. I'm just having a conversation about it. But you got a precept upon precept on VFN TV. You go to VFNTV.com, and not the radio, but VFN TV, and you can see this teaching. But this is the definition of hate. This may shock you. You may be shocked. Oh, my goodness. I've been hating on some folks. The definition of hate is, a definition of hate, is to dislike intensely. I don't hate them. I just really don't like them. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with me saying I don't like people. Yes, there is. It's called hate.
That's right.
Hater, right? To dislike intensely or passionately, which means you're going to have to start caring about Tony Romo. Well, look at that. Did you see that? Strong aversion to that? Did you see that?
I felt it.
Did you see that? He almost fell out of his seat.
I like him.
Right? High frequency. I like him. I guess he is a believer. To dislike intensely or passionately, to feel extreme aversion for or extreme hostility towards. I was pulling up once at a particular place, like a marketplace. And this particular,
not that one.
This particular minister, who obviously is struggling in this area, is you know, I was on the this particular left side of the parking lot. He was on the right side. And his whole head was turned far right, and he walked forward while his head was turned over his right shoulder the whole time. Walking all the way across the parking lot. He's like, that's called strong aversion to.
Right. Right.
Bless his heart, Lord, help him. And that's called hatred. That's called hatred. And he says, listen, you're walking in darkness. He says, our minds are blinded by hate, by the God of this world when we do those kind of things. The definition is to be unwilling, to dislike, to feel intense dislike or extreme aversion or hostility towards. The words that mean the opposite of that, of hate, is liking, loving, and love. So you can't hate and love at the same time. So he's talking about here is we're going to talk about what to do with the ones who you've done nothing wrong to, but yet they're like, Jesus had haters, but he did nothing wrong to them. This is very important, because this is a trap if you don't deal properly with this. WWJD. When Jesus is telling us about don't hate, you know, it's the same as murder, is same as the sin of murder when it comes to judgment seat. He says, when you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you. This is so important because, you know, Jesus had haters. Jesus never did hate, but Jesus, he had haters. These are people that just hated him. When you think about it, that it's important to look at Jesus's life, WWJD, and his ministry, for he walked perfectly as the light and there was no darkness in him. Yet he had conflict with many who had things against him in their heart. He did nothing. He did nothing to them, but yet because of their own sin, the religious were offended by his ministry, his message, and his very existence. Just got people mad at you don't mean you're wrong.
Right.
You could be right. You know, don't change your message. First find out, you know, what God's doing. I mean, the religious folks ain't going to be happy with you when you're the people who don't. I'm talking about not the church here. I'm talking about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus spend one moment trying to satisfy these folks? Did he stop his ministry to go to them and see how he could just make them feel a little bit better? Oh, baby, what's wrong? Are you okay? You're all right. Let me just stop the will of God.
Yeah, right.
So I can go feel this evil that you have, you know, respond to it. And he says, if you obey anyone, including family, over him, if you love them more than you love me, you can have no part of them. That's what he's talking about. And he said, think about this. Did it have any effects on him in his ministry? Did it affect his ministry towards others? Well, he continually ministered toward others. His ability to hear from God, his Father, did it affect that? The fact that people were hating on him and were having conflicts with him? Nope. Did it hold him back? No. Did these haters and these people he was in conflict, that it was in conflict with him, did God, this prevent God from accepting his ministry? No. Mm-hmm. So realize that person's held captive. And if you fall to that and think, you know, and this is what religion does, well, you got to go make that person happy. That person's got evil in their heart and they're held captive by the adversary. And the hate that's coming out of them shows that they're held by darkness. And he says, there, if you're offering your gift and you remember that your brother has something against you, in other words, you've done evil towards that brother, then you should have made that right, but you need to make that right. You put down your prophetic gift, put down your financial gift, and go make it right. Just say, hey, I wronged you. If they forgive you, that's great. And then he says, be reconciled. Reconciled just means make it easy to have a relationship with that person. Take down all those barriers that were there by making it easy for them to be in relationship with you. God wants his children to get along. And if we allow the enemy to put hate in our heart, not only does it divide his family, but it divides us personally from the family of God, blinds our mind, and we become a slave of Satan, a minister of darkness. Mm-hmm. Instead of light, and we have to deal with that sin, and we can deal with it. But I just want to encourage you, remember what he's talking about here. He says, if you've done something to your brother, you need to make it right. At also, just to say, as we're closing here, is, but you should make every opportunity to keep the unity in the faith. If, in fact, someone comes to their senses, as someone is making the right approach towards God, don't miss the opportunity just because they were kind of, you know, out there for quite some time. You know, make an opportunity to be united in the body of Christ, because we want to keep unity in the Spirit in Christ.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries and those that are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I don't know if Larry Kreider just put out a post I thought was pretty cool called Awake to Righteousness. And Larry Kreider, he wrote the books Foundations of Faith and a few others. He's a real cool dude. And but he says in his Awake to Righteousness, a little post, he says, did you ever wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning and it's normal time? Like, say, you're going to get up at 8, and it rings at a normal time. You ever find yourself wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning at a normal time? You wake up and tell yourself you have to go to work, and then you realize, hey, this is a holiday. I can sleep in. And what you're doing at that point, he says, you're awakening to the truth. You see what I'm saying? He says, the Bible tells us to awake to righteousness in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Righteousness means being right with God through faith in Christ. And it has nothing to do with how we feel at the moment. He goes on to write, it has everything to do with our complete dependence on Jesus Christ, who alone makes us righteous, as we trust him by faith. When we believe him, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible tells us that we are made righteous through faith. That's Romans 4:24. This is an awesome revelation. Tell yourself the truth. I am a man or woman of God. I can go to work and enjoy it. I can share my faith. I can love my parents. I can raise a family for the Lord regardless of my present circumstances. I can take a step of faith. I will get out of debt. I will be victorious over sin. I will fulfill my God-given destiny. I am righteous through faith in Jesus Christ today. Pretty cool. We awaken to the God-given truth that we can live righteously and victoriously by grace, by the grace of God. When we do that, we are awakening to the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. Either we trust God and receive his righteousness by faith, or we get religious trying to repay God with our good works for our sins and mistakes. There are many people in mental hospitals, he writes today, that are religious people who have not experienced true righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness through faith in Christ is the only way to experience true freedom. Awake today to righteousness. Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
You know, and if you've ever been called up in works, you probably thought about going to a mental institution. trying to repay God for all your stuff, and it's like all day long, it's like 2 pennies, and you still owe $1 trillion, right?
Yeah. Mm. And deficit.
It's a huge deficit, right?
No doubt.
And it's just awakening to that. Like you wake up and it's, you know, you're fixing to go to work and you realize, oh my goodness, it's a holiday.
Yeah. It's important to receive it by faith. I remember Jewish Myers talking about that.
What's that?
So you have to receive it by faith.
Right.
I remember Joyce Myers talking about that, and she said she'd get up every morning and declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And her declaring that and letting faith arise, you know, she, her faith was matching her declaration, and she was teaching on that, and I thought it was very powerful.
That's very good, you know, because what, you know, what happens in those struggles when we don't have the understanding of that, that you'll find where somebody sins or makes a mistake or fails, and all men sin and all men fail, but it's the things you, that you hate. It's not something, the thing I hate, I do.
Right.
It's not, you know, a contemplation of it. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's moving in works and trying to repay God for their forgiveness is somebody that will repent. They'll say, God, forgive me for the sin. But they'll spend a week or two moping around, you know, beating themselves emotionally, causing everybody else to feel miserable. And it's like, you're moving in self-righteousness. You know, you know, either he forgave you when you legitimately asked and repented, or you're earning it, because all of a sudden after 2 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm all fine. I'm all, it's like, you know what? You've convinced yourself that you beat on yourself long enough to earn God's forgiveness. And it's like, that ain't enough beating, because you got to go see what happened on the cross. That is the beating that he took for us. And we have to receive what he did by faith for us. That's how awesome it is.
And Lord died there.
Yeah, which means that the it's a powerful moment in your life when you have sin and you're able to go to God boldly and say, dear God, you know, I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness in my life. Give me the power and the grace to turn away from this. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because by faith, you receive that, and God gives it to you by faith because you had faith. And then he takes your sin and removes it away from you as far as the east is from the west, and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more. That's a powerful thing. But people who struggle with, who haven't awakened to righteousness like Larry Crider's talking about, they just keep bringing it up again and again and again. It's like, didn't you repent from that last year? What's, you know, my goodness. You know, and it's just like, but the thing is that they're trying to earn, they're trying to figure out, how do I get out of this dilemma? The dilemma can only be resolved at the cross. It's the only place it can be resolved. Legitimate brokenness, a desire to do right, and asking God to forgive you is what he asks. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you got to trust God then to walk out and be confident that he can empower you to walk boldly before him outside of that sin, because your total dependency is on his finished work on the cross of the Christ, on the cross of Christ, and not on your ability to do good, even though you do good, but the good in you is God. We love that.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. and something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.